Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to the voices behind Women's Cricket Chat. That's Georgie and Alex. Coming up on today's podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Women's Cricket Chat. I'm delighted that this week Alex and I are joined by the bubbly sunshine human that is Amy Campbell. For those of you watching, you'll be able to see she is just a smiley old bean. We love Amy Campbell. Welcome. It's been a while. We've been trying to get this organized, a long time coming, and finally we've got you. Thank you so much for joining.
I'm so sorry, this has actually been a long time coming, hasn't it?
You know what, good things come to those who wait, and we waited. Yeah. And we got a good thing, so it's all okay.
That was a lovely intro, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Best one I've had yet, so
I'll take that. It'd be funny if you say this is the first podcast you've ever done as well, but you know what, I'd still take it. Firstly, how are you?
I'm all right. I've had a bit of a mental month. But yeah, no, we're back at training now and I'm just happy to get stuck back in, to be honest. After October, I was like, ooh, am I ready to go back yet? Because it's a long season, isn't it? And then I get back in and I'm like buzzing about it. Yeah.
Nice to get back with the gang, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, you do miss the girls in October. It's good to have a break from the cricket and have the mental break, but it's really nice to get going with the girls again. And then it's just nice to get going in the morning, see all your mates. It's lovely.
Yeah, I mean, cricket in December, what more could you want?
Exactly, it is. Just, yeah, the early 9 o'clock starts. I say early, but that is because some days we start at 12. I'm like, this is brutal. That's why I got my Lumi lamp to help.
It's all about the Lumi lamp. We will come on to those because I love a Lumi lamp. Alex, I don't know if you have one, but you need one. The sunshine lamps, the sunrise lamps, they're the absolute dream.
Last 2 days, I've really felt the benefit.
Yeah, I mean, it's because we're currently recording this at just gone 3 o'clock and I'm convinced it's basically dark outside.
The weather is tragic. It is bad.
I've gone for all of it. I've gone for candles. I've got lights on. I'm going to have to invest in one of those happy lights. Go for all of it, I think.
Yeah.
Because I don't winter well.
As soon as I'm finished this, I'm getting my pajamas on.
Nice. Well, I might as well be wearing pajamas, what I'm dressed in today. Yeah. So. I just wanted to say, before we start, I was so sorry to hear about your sister and we're all sending you so much love and I really hope you're okay and you've got all your family love around you and you know that we all love you and we're all here for you as well. But we're going to talk cricket.
Yep.
Let's throw it way back to where it all started for young Amy Campbell. How did you first decide, you know what, I'm going to be a cricketer?
My dad played, well, he played for the Navy and he played county level as well. So, and my mum basically managed the cricket club for 13 years. So my whole childhood was basically just revolved around the cricket club. Summer holidays at the cricket club. My dad was my absolute hero. So, well, he still is a little bit, but especially when he played cricket, I loved watching him. And I think, yeah, I think I've always just been quite a sporty person. I've always been a bit more creative and more sporty as opposed to academic reading books. I just liked running around like a little terror. I was an absolute crazy child. So yeah, summer holidays were amazing. Basically got started with sort of like the summer camps with the boys. There's obviously no girls teams back then. I was literally the only girl. Yeah, just got into that way. Absolutely loved it. I'm very glad that I was good at it because God knows where I would have ended up regardless of that. But yeah, and then yeah, it's just been a massive part of my life since then. Just sort of like slowly moved up the ranks and somehow at 32 I'm here, which is amazing.
Am I right in thinking that your parents ran the bar at the local cricket club and that sort of?
Yeah, so my mum basically managed the bar and like all the events and stuff at the cricket club. My dad is a mechanical engineer, but he just played cricket all the time. The day I was born, my dad played a cup final that night. Yeah.
Was he there for the birth? Oh, cool, I've got a daughter. Okay, I've got to go out to bat now.
Yeah, I've got to go. Cup final on Ange. And yeah, so I don't think
push her out faster. I've got to go.
Exactly. But yeah, I think it was just like back in the day, if you think the men that play at South North now, which is the club that I grew up in, if they have a baby, they take a season off. Whereas back then, like that was their lives. That was literally their livelihood. And it was definitely wasn't a family first thing. It was definitely a cricket first family sort of like in and around that. But yeah, well, because of that though, I was there all the time and stuff. And I'm quite grateful for it now. Good little community to grow up in as well. Definitely loved it.
And I read somewhere, so if this is wrong, we can all blame the cricketer, but God. I read that you are from the northeast, and it said on there you came up through Northumberland, and at under 11s level you captained England fast bowler Mark Wood. So tell us a little bit about that.
Woody, what a guy. He's literally exactly the same now, by the way, as what he was back then. He hasn't changed one bit. Yeah, I guess I was just as good as all the boys at that point. And then it got to under 13s and they started bowling at my head and they got a lot faster. So then I moved on to County Women's. But yeah, for a season, I did captain the Northumberland County Boys. And I remember going to the North of England trials as well. And Joe Root was there. And yeah, it was mad. It was crazy. Like, obviously, they're such amazing players now. And I've had a lot of obstacles. I think the whole thing, well, it was me and G. Elwis that played Boys County at that time. It was just me and her. She was playing for Staffordshire, I think. And yeah, and I think there was all this talk about, oh, these girls are going to be the next girls to play for England, blah, 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 blah. And I just think I had far too many mental obstacles in my way to make it there. Obviously, G's made a great career off the back of it and whatever. But I think I'm just appreciating where I am now and that I've actually made it this far.
And what was it like having to play alongside the boys and then moving on to playing girls/women's cricket? What was the kind of development like at that time, especially as you compare it to the professionalisation now?
So I moved on to Durham County Women. They actually had quite a good setup, Durham County. Danny Hazel was there. They had quite a good team, quite a good setup. I think Yorkshire was probably the place to be though at that time. But in comparison to the boys, do you know what? I think it was probably similar. It was probably quite similar at that point for me. In terms of we had training twice a week. That was the same with the county boys. Really, at that age, I mean, obviously it gets a little bit more intense. In terms of like the jump of standards and stuff like that, I don't know, they were pretty good cricketers on the Durham side. But I always played better against the boys. I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's because I had a little bit more fight in me, a little bit more to prove, a little bit more. There was a lot of obstacles in that sense of, oh, it's a girl. I've got a girl balling at me and blah, 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 blah. You do feel like you've got a lot more to prove. Whereas I probably didn't have the same fire in my belly playing for the women for some reason. I don't know. I still kind of like playing against boys now. I just feel like a little bit more challenged and I switch on a little bit more. It takes me a while to switch on. I need some fire in my belly to actually play at my best. So yeah, it was different. It was different, but it was still a good team, good setup. I think Danny moved to Yorkshire, didn't she? And then she progressed her career from there. So I think some other regions and southern regions were a lot better. Obviously, they just have more money, better players, and probably a little bit more of the grassroots stuff as well. But yeah, I didn't mind it. Got me where I used to be.
So obviously, women's cricket has been through this massive shift and change, and there was the good old COVID times. But then following on from that, we had the development of the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy, then the Charlotte Edwards Cup as well. What was it like for you having to deal with COVID times and not being able to go and play anywhere? I mean, barely leave the house, let's be honest. And then coming into a more professional setup at the end of that 2020 summer and being part of Northern Diamonds.
Yeah. Actually, I don't see it in a negative way. I saw it as like it gave me something to focus on, because we actually were really lucky to be able to still go in and train. Professional sports, we were still able to go in and train. And I honestly think if I didn't have that, I mean, I'm obsessed with the gym, so I was training all the time anyway. But then just having that focus to like, oh God, I could actually potentially go pro here or whatever, it gave me something to focus on. And I think I was lucky in that sense of I was able to just push towards something, whereas I think a lot of other people felt a bit stuck and like, oh, where do I go from here? I'm losing my job, I'm this and that. I was like, I actually left my job to go and pursue it. If anything, COVID happened at just the right time for me. It was like the biggest tragedy ever, but it happened at such a perfect time in my life where I felt a bit stuck in the job that I was in. I was getting paid good money, I had a good client base, and I worked for a really good gym. But then I was also like, I feel like I want more, and it happened at just the right time for me in terms of, all right, I could actually give cricket a proper shot here. So yeah, I'm gonna hate the fact so many people died, but I'm actually grateful that I had that break to actually stop and think about what I actually wanted to do, and took a chance on it, which was good. And I was in a position financially to do that at the time, which I was really grateful for. Not a lot of people had that opportunity to just go and do what they wanted. But in terms of that, yeah, well, we're still getting training regimes sent to us and whatever, we were still able to go and train locally. So I think it actually probably saved me a little bit, to be honest, that COVID time. Put a more positive spin on it.
We've spoken to previous guests about this, about the challenges and sort of the drawbacks of having to balance work alongside playing cricket, because obviously at the time there weren't contracts, even like at domestic level, and now there is that sort of structure in place. How, not pleasing, but how fulfilling in a sense is it that you don't necessarily have to now panic about working part-time to fund your cricketing lifestyle? And we also want to know, what job did you end up deciding to give up to pursue cricket full-time?
Yeah, well, I give up. I was a sports therapist, so I was a physical therapist and a PT, and I was in a private gym, and it was like basically just on a one-to-one basis. And it was a very, very good gym. I was very lucky to have the mentor that I did for 5 years, and I was lucky enough to earn a good amount of money to save, and I lived with my sister for a little bit, so I saved a lot of money. And obviously it was a really, really scary jump, because that's all I'd known for 5 years, and for me I need a lot of structure, and it was a job that gave me a lot of structure in my life, and it gave me a purpose, and I love helping people, so it really fit in with my values as a person as well. Like, just helping people is something that gives me joy. So it was quite scary going to something like cricket, because that can be seen as quite a selfish sport. You really have to just think about yourself a lot, and in some ways it really doesn't align with my values at all. So it was such a massive jump for me to just quit all of that. But then I knew I could go back to that if I really, really wanted to, and obviously I had the financial security, so I was one of the lucky ones, whereas I know it's not that easy for a lot of people now. But yeah, in terms of what I'm doing now and not having to worry about stuff like that is absolutely awesome. But also, if you're not worrying about one thing, you're worrying about the other. So for me, I'm like, I'm come to 32 now, and I'm thinking, oh, well, how many years have I got left? And can I live off this wage at 32? Like, eventually I want to get a mortgage and I want to get a house. And I think we're just hitting that peak now where it's kind of like, it is just rising every year. There's like new opportunities coming our way. There's franchise cricket all over the world. And I mean, last year, I text you, Georgie, didn't I? And I was like, I just don't know if I want to continue this. Because of the mental struggles that I'd been through in the past 3 years, it was almost like, is this worth it for me with what I'm getting paid? But now I feel like there's a little bit of hope, and maybe 100 contracts might go up this year, so I could potentially save for a mortgage and stuff like that. So I'm like, and I love it. I do love it. It's just the season is just so brutal sometimes, like mentally. And I think that's why you've got to do the hard yards in terms of your therapy and your stuff like that, and keeping on top of just your mental well-being. It's like such a massive thing in cricket.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we do see quite a lot in cricket as a sport, because it can be very isolating, and you seem to never be at home sometimes during the season. You know, like you're on that crazy 100 train, and 1 minute you're in Cardiff, and then the next day you're in Manchester, and it just is quite relentless like this. And you talk about the mental health side of it. This year you were diagnosed with ADHD, and you shared your story, which is amazing on that. You know, I don't want to use the word brave because I think it is just amazing. It's not being, you know, but brave, I'm going to go with brave anyway. And it's something that you, in your standing as a professional cricketer, to be able to show that, you know, you can go out and find that help. What was it like for you to get that diagnosis? Was it a sort of relief? And then to have to go through finding the right medications and getting all that stuff sorted, because, you know, there's getting diagnosis and there's medication, but then there's getting it right. What's that been like for you this year?
When I got diagnosed, I cried straight away because I felt like I'd been diagnosed with depression previously to that. And even though like the antidepressants were helping and stuff like that, they were just numbing me, but I still wasn't really functional. I really just struggled to leave the house, really. It was almost like I had this big list of things to do and I really wanted to do them, but I couldn't. It's like my body was like, it was just freezing all the time. And I wasn't efficient. I wasn't running efficiently. So when I got diagnosed with ADHD, I was like, oh, penny dropped. And I was like, I've been struggling with this for my whole life. So you get like loads of different emotions. You're just like, I have a bit more self-compassion for yourself, all the mistakes that I've made and all the silly things that I've said, and you know, the emotional dysregulation and stuff like that. People thinking I'm absolutely crazy. I'm not crazy at all. I've actually just got, it's almost like I could pinpoint some, like have answers for myself, and also just help like learn to love myself a little bit more and definitely understand myself as a person. Like, I think I'm a completely different person this year than I was 2 years ago. Oh my God, like the difference is crazy. The medication has been amazing for that. So I'm like fully functional now. If anything, I'm doing too much stuff. So it's just got like a bit more the other way, but I'd rather be that way anyway. I'd rather be keeping busy and stuff like that. And yeah, but at the start, you kind of go through a little bit of anger as well. Like, why me? Like, academically, I really struggled in school, not because I'm stupid. I've got a degree. I've got 2-1 and a very good degree, but it was such a struggle. And like academically in school, it was such a struggle. Like, I'd read books and nothing would go in. It was literally just, I felt like it was impossible, and I felt like I was stupid, and I felt like I couldn't do anything and I wasn't capable. And with that comes a lot of lack of confidence in yourself, lack of belief in yourself and stuff like that. So going into a professional environment where you're at rock bottom with your confidence, you don't think, feel like you're capable, but you're there, so you don't really understand it. So in my first year of being a pro, I was like, what, should I even be here? All these questions, rather than just focus on getting better. It was all that mental turmoil as well. And I even still had that last year, to be honest. But I feel like getting my diagnosis has just given me such more clarity. I know myself better. I'm a lot more self-aware, a little bit more self-compassionate. I'm definitely a lot more confident as a person and who I am as a person. I just think all those things will really help me with my cricket and actually just regulate my emotions a little bit better and cope with things a little bit better. But I actually got my meds right first time, so I was quite lucky in that sense. They gave me too high of a dose at the start, though, and I felt like I was literally off my nut. And I was like, I can't live like this. So can you please turn that down a little bit? But yeah, as soon as I took them, I was like, whoa, this is mad.
Yeah, it's like an eye-opening, like, wow, this is actual kind of moment.
I was like, oh, I can actually do stuff now. I can, like, focus. I can concentrate for longer than 3 minutes. It's nice.
That will help when you're playing
cricket. Help in cricket. What a silly sport.
That will do. I wanted to ask on that, actually, because cricket is such a mental sport. You know, you're out there in the middle, potentially could be, you know, out of form or having to play in a way you don't necessarily normally play if it's, you know, certain ways the game has gone. How do you cope with that? And like, what are your kind of mechanisms to sort of keep yourself sort of not centred? Because I think I hate the word centered, but
yeah,
to keep yourself, you know, on the straight and narrow that way and concentrate on the cricket. And then what do you do sort of outside that? I think I went for a good old stalk through your Instagram because, you know, yeah, why not? It goes a long way. It goes a really long way. Is it say you do Reiki? Is that?
Yeah, I've done a lot of Reiki. I've got therapy coming out of my ears. I've got a very good psychologist which I've actually had to put on hold at the minute because I'm doing bereavement counselling for my sister to help me deal with that now. So it's almost like I get to one point and then I just get knocked down on another point. But like the PCR is so amazing with supporting you with all that sort of stuff. And the support that I've had has been absolutely incredible. But yeah, in terms of dealing with stuff, I just get out, like, I've stopped drinking now. I haven't drank for, I think it's 104 days now. Like, I'm completely sober. and I don't think I'll ever drink again because I'm just a better person when I'm not. And yeah, can't handle hangovers at 32. They're absolutely horrific. So yeah, I'm making the right decisions now for myself. I can be quite a destructive person when I'm not in control of myself. But then also being aware of that is like another thing, which is the thing that's probably saved me. Like the therapy has made me more aware of when I know I'm sliding down, how do I then keep my head above water? And so yeah, anyone struggling, I would 100% recommend getting a very good therapist because it's absolutely changed my life. But apart from that, training is my absolute, I don't know, it's my safe space. It's like, even if I'm going to the gym for a stretch or whatever, I love being in the mountains, I love walking, good food, being with Fee, being with my friends, and just making sure I'm switching, little Fifi, just making sure I'm switching off from cricket completely as well when I'm not there. And I think a lot of us cricketers, we really, really struggle with like our identity, and because we've been playing pretty much our whole lives, who are we outside of cricket? And that is something that I've struggled with ever since I've been a professional cricketer. I think I'm just coming to the point now because I'm more confident with who I am, and that I'm like, oh, I play cricket, but I am not Amy the cricketer. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've got a lot more to me than just that. And I think that's so important to do things outside of it.
Firstly, before I ask my question, I just really want to say I really commend you for being so open and honest with us, because especially with ADHD, it doesn't necessarily manifest the same way in everyone. Like, for instance, you look at Sam Thompson on I Am a Celebrity, and he's like very golden retriever energy. For other people, it's completely different mindset. So I'm really grateful and appreciative for you sharing your journey and for actually, you know, teaching us a little bit about ADHD and how that all works. But what I wanted to know was, obviously, you've had moments where you felt really good and where you've felt, you know, we've had a conscience of crisis, so to speak. Have the PCA ever helped in any way, or like, how does that sort of work for you guys as cricketers?
Okay, so we all have a PDM, which is like a personal development sort of manager or officer. I've got Lindsay Williams as mine. She's literally like my second mum. She's constantly checking in. She's constantly asking me, especially at the minute, she's like always messaging me, oh, do you want to talk on the phone and stuff. They're just basically, we'll get appointed an officer who are all amazing people in the PCA. Like, they just hire really good people. And yeah, they kind of like, they do like the regular checkups with everybody. And if they sort of highlight any issues or anything like that, if they see you at rock bottom, they know to just throw you in the direction of a therapist, just get you that help straight away. And like, God, we are so incredibly lucky as cricketers to have the PCA. Like, they've honestly changed my life completely. And without that support, I'm not actually sure I'd still be playing cricket. And I'm not sure I'd still, well, be in the headspace that I'm in now, considering what's just happened. So yeah, like, all the professional cricketers have access to their officer and check-ins and stuff like that. What we do need to work towards, I think, is making sure that the academy have them, and the people that are on semi-pro contracts have access to that as well. And I think that's probably going to come in the next couple of years, just to deal with, because it's quite tough just being tipping on the edge of a professional contract, and mentally that can be. And there's a few girls on our team that have really struggled with their heads and not potentially getting their contracts and that they want and stuff like that, and they need that support as well. So hopefully that'll come in the next couple of years.
Yeah, PCA are really doing amazing things. Well, I think we won't keep pushing you on all the mental health side of things, because we want to talk cricket too. So if we go back to some cricket again, so obviously you were playing up at the Northern Diamonds, made that Rachel Hayhoe Flint final. God, that's quite hard to say. It's a Hayhoe Flint final. I can't speak anymore. Back in 2020.
Yeah.
And then you moved to Sparks, heading south. What prompted that move, and what was it like to leave the north?
Leave the North. Well, the North didn't want to give me a contract, so that's why I left the North. If I had got a contract at Diamonds, I would have stayed, purely because I'd been there. Well, I felt like it was like a home to me. Obviously, Phoebe was there, Lauren was there, Levick was there. These are all girls that I've played with since I was 15, 16. So it would have been really hard to choose Sparks over Diamonds if they had offered me a contract. But yeah, no, I think I got just scouted when I played well in that semi-final, the game before the final. Laura McLeod, actually my director now, she gave me a ring and just said, we want to offer you a contract. And in that meantime, I was waiting to see if I would get one with Diamonds, and I didn't. So I was just like, yeah, bugger it. My dad was like, you're never going to get this opportunity again, so go for it.
And what was it like to move to a completely new setup like that? Obviously, you say you've been alongside some of your mates for so long. What was that step and that change like for you?
I quite like change. I get bored in the same place, so it actually worked quite well for me. I moved away to uni. Obviously, I went to Leeds Uni, so I feel like I've done a bit of travelling, and I like bouncing around. My mum and dad have just moved to Portugal, so it's not like I had my parents in Newcastle anymore. So it was almost like everyone seemed to just be splitting off everywhere, and I was just like one of those things. You just got to take the bull by its horns, see how it goes, and if it doesn't go well, move back. That's kind of how
parents
I've seen
go
it.
To Portugal and you go to Birmingham?
It would be my first pick of cities. I do love it now, but I was a bit like, oof, do I really want to move to Birmingham? But it's actually lovely, and the people are lovely.
Who needs the Algarve when you have the... I don't even know what the river's... Is that
Birmingham? Oh, I still get me free holidays. Don't worry about that.
Okay, good.
I'll still be going over a couple of times, yeah.
Go get some sunshine. And what's it like being at Sparks as... I don't want to say one of the older ones, but maybe as one of the older members of the team? Because there's a lot of real youngsters coming through. You've got the likes of like Hannah Baker, who played in that Under-19 World Cup. And she's, 13 years your junior, if my maths is right?
Maybe. Look, we don't need to mention this.
And do you find that it gives you a sort of different role in the side if you're if you're north of 30 and they're south of 20?
Yes. No, it does. Well, I think as I was saying before, I miss my old job because I love helping people. So I actually just take them under my wing. And I'm quite good at noticing when people aren't okay. I'm quite... I don't know if it's my ADHD, but I can really just sense when people aren't okay. And I guess I just take that motherly role a little bit. And I think I probably overdid it in the first 2 years, to be honest, from where I was exhausting myself. But they know where I am if they need me. And I like to be able to pick. Well, we've got Pavs now, haven't we, as a pro. So she's another fellow ADHDer. So she's quite hilarious to watch because she's definitely a little bit more scatty than me. So it's quite funny because we really understand each other and whatever. So I proper took her under my wing and helping her, because we learn in different ways as well. So when the coaches aren't explaining it in the way that we understand, I can help her out, which is quite nice. And we can calm each other down and stuff like that. So yeah, I do feel like more of a motherly role, but I like that. It makes me feel good.
And being one of the more experienced players in the side, obviously moving from the north to the Midlands, were some of your teammates perhaps good tourist guides, or did you kind of try and figure out Birmingham, the city of Birmingham, by yourself?
Well, at that point I was probably quite unsociable as well. I was sociable on nights out after games and stuff like that, but at that point I didn't actually want to leave the house because I was going through my depression and stuff. But they were as soon as I got there, Emma messaged me straight away and was like, do you want to go for a walk and stuff like literally the girls have been absolutely amazing with me. And yeah, all right. So I'm good friends with them now. So they've been brilliant. And yeah, apparently Birmingham's the greenest city in. Yeah, look it up. Honestly, I didn't believe it either. So yeah, and definitely need to do more walks and stuff around here. But I think it's more just this year that I've actually just really started to settle in a little bit. It's taken me 2 years. This year was hard.
What can Sparks now do? You know, you say you've been there 2 years. What can Sparks do to push themselves up that table a bit now this year?
Well, we've made a few changes, which look, training's gone absolutely amazing so far, and I think we've just cut the bullshit out and we just work hard. We'll just work bloody hard, less whinging, less of this, less of that, and actually come on girls, let's just get the best out we can out of each other. We do a lot of psych as a team and stuff like that, and getting to know each other as individuals, how to manage each other on the pitch. Some are quite fiery like me. Someone like Potsy's probably goes into a shell a little bit under pressure. I would probably get angry and lose my head. So it's sort of like, how do you manage each other on the pitch and how do you get the best out of each other? And that we're doing a lot on that at the minute. And I think talent-wise, we can go all the way. And I think, but as a unit, we work well, but we could definitely work better as a unit. And I think that's something that we've really starting to work on now, and making sure we're checking in on each other and stuff like that. And I think just stuff like that can always, it's the one percenters, isn't it? Can you actually push yourself further in training? Can you actually switch on here and make sure you get the most out of your sessions?
And also with E. Jones as your captain, she's a really good egg. What's it like to have her as captain?
She literally just leads by example. Like, she is a true professional. It's the only way I can describe Eve. Like, she's an amazing person, and she's very competitive, and she just wants to get better. And I feel like that's what you need as a captain. Essentially, that's what you're there for. You're there to get better and better yourself. And Eve's always training hard. She's always getting frustrated if something's not going well. Like, she really feels it, like a bit like me, really, quite similar. And we do a lot of training together because we're both lefties. So yeah, it's just good to be alongside someone that is really, really driven and wants the team to do well. So yeah, she's a really good egg.
On that, you and Eve, so you say you and Eve are both the lefties, you like to spend time together. Yeah. Have you found that been a sort of positive aspect for your career? Has it helped you to be a lefty, do you think? Has it given you sort of that extra summit?
I think so. Yeah, I think, well, it's a little bit more rare, isn't it? It's harder to ball at. So yeah, definitely. I would like, I would like to think that I was good at it. Even if I was a right-hander, I was good enough, but I definitely think it gives me that, the edge, for sure. Or potentially getting picked over somebody else because I'm a left-hander. Definitely an advantage, for sure.
You know, the whole Rafael Nadal is actually right-handed and got taught to play tennis left-handed, one of those kind of things.
Really?
Yeah, I'm also convinced there'd be so many more left-handers in the world. If, do you remember back in the old days when they wouldn't let kids write left-handed? They had to do stuff right-handed. So I'm wondering how many past cricketers would have been so much better if they were allowed, people could have been better at sports if they were allowed to play with the hand they actually wanted to hold it with.
Well, if I have kids, they're definitely about left-handed.
Just teach them from the off. And then I always think if I have kids, I'm going to teach them like languages, really.
Yeah.
Because I need to learn languages, and it'd just be so helpful. I need to marry a foreigner, basically. Yeah. I'm a foreign left-hander. That's what I'm going to put that on my Hinge now.
Yeah, you want? Yeah, I want a foreign left-hander.
A bilingual left-hander. There you go.
Well, I think you'll be in there.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Better than the one the other day.
Never.
Someone liked my picture and it said, I don't actually like you. I just want to know where your trousers are from. And I was like, thanks. Good times. That's how well my day is.
Bye. Don't need you in my life. See ya.
No. I should have sent it to Zara and be like, I have a new marketing campaign for you. But no. And so we talked a lot about time at Diamonds, time at Sparks, but a massive thing that has happened in the women's game in the last few years is the development and the growth of the 100. And you've now played in two different sides in the 100, started in purple and now rocking the sort of Vicar look in the black and white, black and silver, do we say, of the Manchester Originals. What's it been like to be part of the 100 and how crazy is the 100 train?
Oof. It's pretty crazy. Look, it's an incredible experience and we're so lucky that we get to do it. We get paid a good wage and whatever, and it makes up a good pay packet for us as well. But in terms of experience and playing against the best players in the world, even though that can be incredibly tough sometimes and it really humbles you, it's all experience and it's just getting out there in front of massive crowds and seeing the kids and the smiles on their faces and stuff, you actually realise, like, oh, actually, I could make an impact here. But, like, in domestic cricket, you don't really think that because you haven't got that many people watching it. But when you're at the 100 and you see all the kids, you're like, oh, I actually could be helping some people here, or I could be inspiring these children. And, yeah, and I think that's what it's all about at the end of the day, isn't it? I think you can get really lost in your own head in the 100, but really, if you look at the bigger picture, we are doing great things for the little ones, which is good.
And I suppose in a way, having been at Superchargers and now at Originals, it kind of, like you were saying earlier, you don't like to be in one place for too long. It kind of feeds that in your soul, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to stay at Originals this year. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't played particularly well in the 100. T20 is something, like, I can hit the ball pretty hard. Everyone knows that. But in terms of, I like to have a bit more time. I do like to have a bit more time and I am better at 50 over cricket. So fingers crossed I get something this year, but you know, you can't, yeah, fingers, toes, eyelids, ears, everything crossed. But yeah, it's kind of like it is what it is. If I don't, I don't. If I do, I do. You know what I mean? But It's been an incredible experience for us. I mean, it's bloody stressful. If I'm going to be perfectly honest, no one comes out of the 100 feeling amazing. Everyone's stressed.
And that has nothing to do with how many times you go to the pub or people
No, honestly, it doesn't. It's the highs and the lows of franchise cricket. It is brutal. It's hard work. You have to pick yourself up 10 times quicker than you would in domestic. And it's just, it's an unfair, it's just like a game where you don't know whether you're going to do well or not. You're more likely to just really fail in these circumstances. Like, you've got to be a top class player to be sticking out in the 100. And when you're in front of all those people as well, dealing with that mental side of it is quite overwhelming sometimes. I think this year I found it a lot easier because I'm a lot more comfortable in myself, but didn't put on the performances that I wanted really and what I'm capable of. So fingers crossed for this year. They've got to give us a bit of time to settle in. I mean, it's such a massive thing for the women. When you turned professional 3 years ago and now we're playing in front of full crowds, it's just like, whoa, let us like adapt to this, especially the non-England contracted players and whatever, you know?
Yeah, just on that, you talked about having, you know, sell out crowds and stuff like that. What's it been like for you to play at grounds such as Lords, Old Trafford, Sapphire Gardens?
Well, it's amazing, isn't it? It's really cool. We get to play at a lot of these, well, apart from Lords, we get to play at these grounds in domestic. So it's kind of like we're incredibly lucky to... I absolutely love Old Trafford. I used to hate playing at Old Trafford, you know, in domestic. And then since I moved to the originals, it's just like it feels like home now. And I actually love playing there. I think it was because the square was like concrete and I used to field close and I used to come out black, blue, covered in scabs. So... But no, it was like this has got a really good feel to it, Old Trafford. I do love it there. And yeah, we are lucky. We are very, very lucky we get up on these amazing pitches. And just a bit mental, really. I think at the end of the 100, me and Fee were walking across the pitch at Old Trafford. And I think we just looked at each other like, how cool is our job? How cool is our job that we just walking across this pitch at Old Trafford? Like, it was mental.
And also what is cool, that you two get to play on the same team. Which what's it like to be able to play alongside Fee? And I just love that you and Fee, you're just my faves. So yeah. I also want to know how that came about. And when did you like realize your sexuality and what was that like for you, maybe coming up to your parents and sharing that with the wider world?
Well, I came out quite early. I think I was 17 when I got my first girlfriend. I think I knew. I mean, I'd been with both, to be honest, and could never really get an emotional attachment with a man, but I could with a woman. And I was just sort of like, yeah, I'm probably just going to ride this roller coaster. Thankfully, I'm quite an open person. So I didn't have any troubles coming out. And if someone did have a problem with it, I wasn't particularly fussed. I think my parents at the start kind of wanted to swallow that pill just then, but now they're absolutely fine and they love Fee and whatever. I just think it can be that older generation, it can be quite hard for parents, can't it? And thinking, oh, we want grandkids. But now my mum's got too many grandkids, so she's probably thinking, oh, this is great. So yeah, I didn't have any problems coming out and I was pretty early doors for me. In terms of Fee, it was actually Phoebe Graham that set us up. All hail Phoebe Graham, she'll be definitely
right. Graham, aka Cupid.
Yeah, she's proper Cupid. So yeah, we met in the first 100. Nothing happened. Started texting after that. Then no one ever really looked back after that. And then she ended up coming to Portugal with me for, I think it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I said, I know, really bad time and I'm going to Portugal for 3 weeks to stay with my parents. I was like, you're very welcome to come out. And anyway, she ended up staying the full 3 weeks and we haven't really looked back since. So we were very lucky. And to play with her, it was strange. We'd always just played against each other. It was strange, but really cool that we got to support each other. And when she took that fifer in the 100, I was just like, wow, this is like, if we ever get married and have kids and stuff, like that'd be such a cool story to tell the kids. And like, there's even a video.
That moment must have been like, that's my girl.
That's my girl. I didn't actually know how many wickets she'd taken at the time. I didn't realise I was a fifer. I just knew she'd taken loads. And you know what?
Yeah.
Me getting that run out, right, thinking that was the best thing since sliced bread. And then, like, an over later, she takes the biggest specky I've ever seen from her own bowl. And I was like, do you know what? I'm absolutely sick of you stealing my limelight.
Yeah, you can do the washing up.
Yeah. It's like, we're just trying to one-up on each other anyway. Turns out she was MVP and absolutely incredible, so.
But it also was a really good round. And that is, it's pinned on your Instagram, I know, because I've been doing Instagram today.
Look, that was the only time in cricket I've picked a ball up and not thought about it. And I'm just like, oh, look what I'm capable of if I don't think. And I just do.
Don't think.
Autopilot. Yeah. So we're on autopilot this year. Yeah. So yeah, it was an amazing experience to have together. It was definitely a test. It was definitely a big test. But sleeping in a camper van in October, in absolute freezing cold for 2 weeks, that's a bloody test. Tell me, what is a bigger test than that? So, and we got through that. We had the best holiday ever. So I reckon we're solid. We're solid. We've passed all the tests now. We're going.
So, yeah. But I think, you know, that's what's so great about not just women's cricket, and women's sport in general is a lot more open than the men's. I feel like with the men's, if there's even a speculation or a whiff of someone perhaps not being 100% straight, you see all the comments come out. Like, I think it's really disheartening for me. Like, for Reece James is the prime example. Everyone says he's gay, and like, oh, they're like, oh, I'm not going to support him anymore. Like, don't then. Like, if you're going to be homophobic, just please go away. Like, I don't have the energy. And it's just because it's not even like anything he does particularly. They just go, oh, he's so zesty. Like, what the hell does that even mean?
Zesty. That sounds nice. I want to be called zesty.
Yeah, that's fine.
But it's like the way they use this terminology of zesty is like, it's almost like it's a negative thing. I don't think there's nothing wrong with being.
Surely you'd be better with saying like whiffy or pongy.
You have to bear in mind though, a lot of football fans, especially on Twitter, don't have brain cells.
Yeah, absolute imbeciles. I'm sorry.
So it's like, that's why I love that, like, women's sport is so great. Everyone goes to me, oh, like, your favorite player is Sam Kerr because she plays for Chelsea. I'm like, no, it's because I love everything she stands for.
Yeah.
And it's like, for a lot of South Asian people, there's really that representation in sport. And although she's only, 25%, like, she's one of the biggest global stars. And to top it off, she's one of the biggest LGBTQ+ stars. So whenever I see, and it's not just her, it's like you, it's everyone. Everyone trying to make a difference to make sport more equal is a really wonderful thing. Because we've seen, you know, the ICC have decided to be like, no, if you're transgender, you can't play, which I think is wrong. Because they're basically like, you know, oh, like if you're going through puberty, but you don't know when you're going to go through puberty.
Yeah.
So you can't exactly like be like, oh, at 9 years old, you could go through puberty at nine. And so you're what? Supposed to take hormone blockers at night. That's just a completely way of thinking.
Gonna do more damage than good, isn't it, really? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there, but I honestly think it comes down to women feel comfortable being themselves and they're a lot more accepting, and men really struggle to be themselves. So I just see it as a massive them problem.
I also sometimes think that in sport, women face so many barriers already. The fact that you're literally a woman in sport, it's like, this just isn't something that is going to take up my brain capacity. You know, they want to get on with the sport and be like, this is who I love, love is love, and if you don't love love, then you can jog on. That's my theory.
The worst ones are the ones that are like, oh, you've clearly never been with a proper man. I'm like, oh my god, that is the worst.
Shall I just crush you with my bicep?
Yeah, literally get out of my face.
Yeah, get out of my face. Oh.
I don't have much patience, to be honest, with men.
No, and actually, that's something I wanted to ask as well. Obviously, you do a lot of gym work and you're amazingly strong. Is that something that ever, like for you, that's, you know, it's your outlet, it's what you do, it's what you love, and you look bloody amazing, you're strong, it helps your game. But is it something that ever has negatively, you've ever had any negative stuff about, you know, men saying things? Because like when women are particularly strong, I don't know if they feel threatened by it and then they feel the need to make comments.
No, I know a lot of people that have, but not me.
You just crush them.
You know what? Maybe I'm bloody scary. People say I'm intimidating, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm terrified of you. Absolutely terrified. I'm quaking.
Like, I'm not intimidating. Like, I'm literally the biggest softie ever. I mean, don't get us wrong. If someone pees us off, there's going to be wars.
I thought about to say if someone pees on us, and I was like, that would start it.
But yeah, no one's really approached. Like, it's literally all I've done. I've been training since I was 16. I think it's more like rugby girls, stuff like that. They get a lot of stick, don't they? are looking like men apparently, and I'm like, they're athletic, like they can lift more than you, and you're literally like just jealous about it. You just bitter.
Is it something you would ever wanted to explore more, going through like the body, maybe bodybuilding, that kind of stuff, or is it always just cricket and that kind of sport? Would you do HYROX? Is that what it's called? HYROX that was on last week?
Yeah, I've done a bit of CrossFit before and I loved it. I loved that sort of like team environment and pushing each other and whatever. But alongside cricket, I don't really have time. Not time, it's more the energy. Like you're so busy recovering from what you're doing that sometimes I don't even have time to do my own gym sessions that help me get away from things, purely because I'm absolutely shattered from cricket and the training we do there. But I wouldn't mind trying HYROX, to be fair. There's a lot more running in it though, and I hate running.
Yeah, fair. I think they do laps after every equipment, don't they?
I'm more just about lifting stuff, lifting tin.
My name is Amy. I lift big things.
Big things, big beans.
Before you did cricket, you were doing your personal training, that kind of stuff. Do you ever think, you know, maybe when cricket is done, that's the kind of thing you'll go back to, or would you want to stay within the cricket kind of environment? Ever fancied picking up a microphone and going down that kind of route?
Yeah, not commentating. You can't have my accent on TV, could you? Definitely.
You can.
Definitely not. No.
We can have subtitles.
Yeah, no, don't think I would. I don't think they'd have us, to be honest. I'm not big time enough. And do you know what? I don't know enough about cricket. I play it. I don't know enough about it. So I'd be absolutely useless. But yeah, I don't know. Do you know what? I'd absolutely love to mentor athletes and use my experience and put that to some good use. And alongside that, I mean, the dream is to probably have my own gym, but then also there's a lot of stress that comes with that. And I just don't know whether I'm prepared for that at all. I'd probably stick within cricket and helping the younger ones or helping the professionals coming through. I'm actually doing a course on that at the minute with TAS, just like an athlete mentorship thing, just to kind of get the ball. I would love to work for the PCA, which I've spoken to Lindsay about before. That's why I'm doing this course. I would love to be a part of the PCA. So yeah, I'd love to stay in sport, obviously. That's my passion. Maybe go to S&C, something like that. Who bloody knows? Hopefully I've got another 3 years in me, fingers crossed.
Would you ever consider coaching, not just specifically cricket, but like coaching in a gym, so to speak? So like training the next generation of cricketers, like how to use the correct equipment, how to use it safely and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, that is one of the things I definitely would look into. And that's something that I have done before. And yeah, and I think obviously the fundamentals of movement and, you know, adding in strength stuff from a younger age, it could under like something that's managed well, like you've got enough coaches watching over them and stuff like that. And I think the quicker you can get them into that and get them understanding their bodies and how they move and stuff like that, the better they'll become later on as athletes, and it'll help their performance. So that's something I'd rather do. I don't want to coach cricket, don't fancy coaching it, but my main passion is to get people moving better and make them a lot more athletic. That's more of my passion. But if I could work with them on the mental side as well, I think I've been through enough to kind of be able to relate with people and help them. As long as I keep on getting better in my head, I would be able to use that later on with these youngsters coming through.
Yeah, and I think it's those shared experiences, isn't it? You know, being open about one thing so someone feels that they can ask you about something, and then it that positive impact that can have on not necessarily just the younger ones, but anyone really. So that'd be cool. Excited to see where that comes, but way down the line, because, you know, like we say, there's still cricket in the pipeline. So you're not going anywhere just yet. You're not running away that fast. I feel like it's probably quite a good time now to move on to some quick fire questions. We always like to sort of round up with the more fun quick fire. Get those lips moisturized nicely for this one. Yeah, kiss the camera, all good. And so we like to always kick off the quickfire questions with what is your favourite sledge you've ever used or heard?
Oh, God. Do you know what? I did one last year and I nearly got a level one for it, but we'll not say that. One I've ever heard, the worst one I've ever heard was someone saying, come on, mate, we're not playing test cricket. And I was like, that is the word. And that's when I responded with something really bad and I can't say it. What my sledge? Oh, I can be quite brutal, you know, when I'm in the field. Anything could come out of my mouth that's actually real bad. Not sure. I'm going to have to come back to you on that one. That's not a quick fire. That's something I'm going to have to think about for ages.
All right. Well, you can drop that one in later. And our other favourite one is, what's your favourite item at cricket tea? A traditional cricket tea?
Scone. Scone, cream, jam.
Cream first, then jam?
Jam, then cream.
I always go jam, because jam spreads and cream dollops.
Yeah. There's definitely there's an argument over that, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's Devon v Cornwall, but you're way up north. You don't have to worry about those southerners. You're fine. Just put them both in and sandwich it, and then you've never got a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Last TV show you binge watched?
Oh, my God. What have I just been... This is a problem with my brain. To be fair, I watch so much stuff.
It can be anything.
Do you know what? It was actually Friends.
Oh, good choice. I actually just restarted that as well.
It's such a non-original answer, though. Everyone binge watches Friends.
We've never had someone say that, to be fair.
Can I just say, has anyone seen Smile, the film?
No, but I did see that on your story the other day, and there was a lot of shock. And I keep meaning to watch it, but I don't have any friends that want to watch horror films with me, so I just watch them on my own, and it's never quite the same.
Well, and do you know what? Fee's got quite a creepy face when she does the smile, and she keeps doing it. And it actually makes me ill. Like, it's the scariest thing I've ever seen. It's almost like... you have to watch it, but watch it with someone and then watch Friends after. That's why we watch Friends after.
Okay, I will. I actually love horror films. I watched The Exorcist.
Please watch it, yeah.
And then was like, that was weird, but no one wanted to watch it and I did. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. Okay, it's a really weird one, but what's your favourite way to cook eggs?
Scrambled.
Oh, good choice. You don't have a lot of scrambled eggs on your Instagram.
Yeah, no, I don't. Eggs make me a bit sicky in the morning, you know. I've went off them a little bit.
Oh, there you go, scrambled.
I've been thinking about recently, because I definitely don't eat enough protein, is just like eating them, thinking them raw. But then I looked up on Google and apparently you get salmonella from it.
I don't actually think you do. I think it's that there is a risk that you could if the egg has salmonella. Like, you know, everyone says you definitely get salmonella if you eat raw chicken. You don't. The chicken has to have salmonella. So, you know what?
1 in 20,000 eggs.
And that's like a lot of eggs.
No, but knowing my luck, I would definitely get that one egg.
Oh, yeah, don't do it. It's like when they tell you can't eat cake yeah. because of the raw eggs, and I'm like...
Pfft. Yeah, I'll just stick to the protein shake for now.
Yeah, nice. Or chickpeas, have they got protein in? Something like that. Yeah. Quinoa, all that, the goodness stuff.
Because yeah. It's a pulse, so chickpeas are a good source. I could go into in-depth about high biological value protein, but I'm not a nutritionist, and we're not here for that.
No.
I'm just going to eat my meat. Do you know what I mean?
That'll do it.
Yeah.
On the topic of food, what's your go-to Deliveroo order or Just Eat or whichever service you use?
Either an Indian. Mm. I love an Indian.
How spicy?
Not very. I go chicken tikka masala.
Okay. Thank God.
I like a saag paneer.
Mm.
And then I like the poppadoms. I like the onions, the onion pickle bargees. Trays. Yeah. Oh, onion bargees. Well, yeah. Like Indian's my go-to or a Wagamama. But... very bloody expensive and not worth it.
And it's always cold when it arrives.
Yeah, it's not a great takeaway.
Why do they also take so bloody long to deliver? I don't understand it.
Never enough katsu sauce either. So you have to order extra.
Oh. Well, I used to find ketchup spicy, so I'd be quite happy without the sauce. Like, you've got the day off on a Sunday. What are you doing?
Gym, walk, Fee cooks me a Sunday lunch on a Sunday. This Sunday, I drove to Oxford to see one of my best friends.
Oh, nice.
I know, I quite like a clean, I'm a bit of a clean freak, so I like to have a bit of a reset on a Sunday. I need to make sure my space is ready for the week to start. I've actually done that today, so.
That's nice. Very nice. You're ready for the week to end this time. Cool.
Go to a food shop before 4 o'clock, get your food in for the week, and prep some food for the week, probably. It's just such a chill day, maybe watch a film as well. A little bit of activity in the morning, just to like... chill me out because I've got a lot of energy in the morning, and then I can earn my rest on the couch later on.
Nice.
Whilst Fee cooks. Yeah, it's nice.
You can yell orders from the couch.
I do love a Sunday. They're like my sanctuary day.
Mm, nice.
Favorite meal or dish that you like to cook?
Such a boring cook. Do you know what? I'm a really boring chicken and rice girl. And rice. But I like a cold salad, bit of beetroot, spring onion. Right. That is such a boring meal though, isn't it? My chicken seasoned.
Okay. What kind of seasoning?
Like a Nando's garlic seasoning. And then I'll have a bit of soy sauce in the rice.
Okay.
All right. It's got more interesting already. Who would you most like to hit for six?
Fee.
Oh.
Obviously.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
Obviously.
And should you be bowling, who would you like to bowl?
I'm trying to think of the opening batters. God, I don't know.
You can say Fee again if you want.
No, I hate watching Fee get out, even when I'm playing against her. I'm not. I don't mind hitting her for six, but I don't like saying I get out. Same with her with me. She said, I'm trying to think of cricketers and I can't think of any right now. Marizan cap because she bowled really well against me against the Ovals, and I played really badly that I batted really badly that game. And I think it's all down to her.
Yeah, we'll blame Marizan cap. Good plan.
Yeah.
Who has the best chat in the Sparks changing room and the Manchester Originals changing room?
Manchester Originals, I'd probably go. Oof, well, what actually all got very good chat? But I don't know. Soph?
Yeah, I think that's the worst chat.
Worst?
Mm.
I can't say that. Can't tell you that.
Okay.
I actually don't think there is anybody. We're all great emojis.
Yeah. We've got the worst dance moves.
Worst dance moves. Ellie Threlkeld, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worst dance moves.
Yeah. Who needs dance? That would be me. I were a cricketer, so.
Sparks, do not tag her in this video, by the way. She's probably never going to listen to it. Yeah. Sparks, best chat. Has to be Pavs, you know. She does everyone's head in because she talks all the time, but she just comes out with the most ridiculous things. So I reckon it's got to be Pavs.
Best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Good one. The people that mind don't matter and the people that matter don't mind.
I love that. I think that's probably quite a nice way to end things, I would say, because we have kept you like all of the afternoon. It now actually is dark outside. Not that that really means much because it gets dark in the space of about 10 minutes. But that is a really nice way to end things. Amy Campbell, it's been absolutely delightful to have you on the podcast. It's been a while coming, but it lived up to the expectation and it was worth waiting for. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we go, could you tell our listeners where they can find you on the social medias?
So my Instagram is just Amy Campbell, AMI. Twitter, I actually have no idea. I'm never on Twitter. So Instagram is the place to find me and I don't have Facebook.
And her Instagram is worth stalking because I did it today.
My biggest fan, Georgie Heath.
Woo! It's when it comes out, but it's like, Georgie Heath has liked 206 of your photos.
Yeah, that's fine. I wouldn't mind from you, Bobs.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, guys. I've loved that. That was a good podcast, that.
And to all our listeners, if you want to keep up to date with everything that we're doing, you can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at WCricketChat, on Instagram at Women's Cricket Chat. And if you want to give us a like on Facebook, we are Women's Cricket Chat. If you'd like to give our personal Twitters a follow, then it's at GeorgiaHeath27 and I'm at Alexjane Herrera. This has been Women's Cricket Chat. Tune in next time.
Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.